Well, this week it was a little crazy. I know y'all tend to hear me say that a lot. For those of you that don't know, I'm a nurse educator at Greenville Hospital, and we've been waiting on the Joint Commission to come and see us for a while. They don't have to give us an exact date, and the Joint Commission, for a hospital to get Medicare or Medicaid payments, they have to be certified by the Joint Commission, and they come in, they inspect everything, literally everything, and they can ask you any kind of question, and it's about as fun as a root canal. And also, well, to give you an idea of the question, how many people do you have working for your hospital system? 15,000, name them. That's kind of how the week went. And so it was very, very hectic. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we're continuing our search for land, and we found a potential lot. And we started up our paperwork, and with any denomination, it's a lot of paperwork. It is a whole lot of paperwork. It's pretty in-depth, and several people here at the church are helping with it. And as I was stress-eating Reese cups and barbecue potato chips this week, I started getting a little discouraged. Little may not be the right word. I was also watching old 80s wrestling while I was doing some of this, and it was just not a whole lot of fun. And I was getting impatient. I wanted this inspection to be over with. I wanted us to have Mother's Day at our new church next week. And it just was not going to happen. And the Holy Spirit, along the way, kept kind of poking at me all this week. With all the running around and the impatience I had, it was hard for me to hear what was being put on my heart. And slowly began to realize that as a Christian, this life, our life is not set to the clock of the world. And we all are going through struggles that we want to be finished. We want to be done, and we're not, and it's very frustrating. It's hard to be in it for the long haul. And I started looking through the scripture for people that had a long, you know, that really hung in there with God through the long haul. And helps if it's on. I found one, and in Genesis, this was after the fall of man. Adam and Eve was out, they had passed, and was several generations, I think 6 or 7 generations, and God started looking at the world. He didn't like what he saw. There were people, so many people that had turned away from him, and God was sorry that he ever had made man on earth at this point. He said, I'm going to blot them out. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm done with them. For I'm sorry that I made them. A lot of that came from God's holiness. And God knew that man's sin deserved to be punished. And that was going to require him to do stuff he didn't like to do. And you think about it as a parent. How many times have we had to punish our kid, and we really didn't want to, but we had to for their good. It wasn't what we wanted to do, but we had to do it for their good so that they would be better off in the future, better people. And that broke his heart. As with many parents, it hurts us to have to discipline our children, but we do it because we love them. But when man's at his worst, we can see God as best. One man found favor. See, I told you were going to like this sermon. He's a Noah back there. And that was Noah. And Noah was 500 years old when all this started going on. His name means rest or comfort, but he never got any in his life. Matter of fact, at 500 years old, he had 3 sons born. I'm thinking about grandchildren when this one gives us some hopefully in about 10 or 15 years, up 20, and I don't know how me and mother are going to keep up with them. 500 years old. And they say God doesn't have a sense of humor, but in Noah, we see that God's grace and mercy are about to be poured out on him and his family. This earth was corrupt and was filled with violence. All the people that were here, God had was done with them. And he gives Noah all these instructions about making the ark. And he tells him, I'm going to make this flood. I'm going to wipe out everything. But with you, I will establish my agreement with you. You're going to go into this ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You're going to take all these animals in here. You're going to pack up all these supplies. And Noah did it. He didn't question. I'm sure he had questions in his mind. What is this ark? How's it going to save us from the flood? What about all my other relatives, cousins, aunts, uncles? Verse 22, though, is very powerful. He did. He obeyed. This simple man. And an act of faith. Even Peter, when he wrote his books, his letters, commented on 2 Peter 2:5. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah and his family, they built this ark. And Noah was the first bivocational pastor. He was a pastor, and he was also had other occupation. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. Can you imagine trying to build a thing this big? This is a replica outside Lexington, Kentucky. One man and his sons and wives, and Noah's unnamed wife, who had to be a saint, built this. Now, if God had asked your bivocational pastor to fix this, that's probably what we would have had. As mother can tell you, I'm not a home improvement guy. We had to put together a shelf in the garage, and I had to pray for some forgiveness because I was letting some language fly that should not have been flying. So if we were lucky, that would have been it. This man built something that was so high, so wide. It was amazing. And all those animals, I mean, we're a puppy sitting. My mother-in-law's border collie right now. And it gets interesting. I couldn't imagine two of every kind. And these two keep us busy with exploding beds that they don't know how it happened. Let's just be thankful. No one was hurt and let's go on with our lives. They estimate that there were 750 million people at the time of the flood. Biblical scholars, 750 million people. Out of all those people, one man and his family were the only ones that God found and he struck a covenant with. Can you imagine how hard it would be to live answering to God in a society like that? By contrast, if you look, 70% of the American population today is Christian. How hard is it to go out? Don't you feel self-conscious sometimes, even praying in a restaurant? Putting up something on your locker? This man was one family. This was one family in 750 million people, and he kept his faith to God. That's just amazing to me. And then he told him the time had come. Enter the ark, you and all your household. You're going to take the animals with you, the birds, and then I'm going to start raining. It's going to rain, rain, rain. 100 years had passed. Noah was 600 years old since God first approached him about building the ark. And he entered this agreement with him, entered this covenant, and they went into the ark. Different time frames for building this. Some people will say between 50 and 75 years to build this ark. What patience and obedience to do this. Made me feel real humble that I was talking about that things weren't moving at my pace. God entered into like a 100-year agreement with this man. And it can, he spent decades, day after day, on this project for God. And it can be hard for a lot of us to read. I know it's hard for me to squeeze time in to read a couple of verses. And it can be, it's more natural for me to pray, but it's harder for me to squeeze time in to get into God's word and do those little things. Can you imagine 8, 10, 12 hours a day, day after day, year after year, decade after decade, following God's plan? I thought about Noah when I read this. 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Do you think Noah realized when he said yes to God what all that would include? 100 years of his life, his family's life. God asks for a lot, but he gives us a lot too. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And sometimes that yoke can feel pretty heavy until you look around and realize what you have and what others are giving in their life and their dedication. There are missionaries all over this world. A lot of them risk their lives to spread the good news of Christ. And we have, by comparison, we have it a lot easier. I mean, I've been told by some folks that I'm a little boring and a little long-winded, not going to say who that is, but I mean, he hasn't shot at me yet. There are people all over the world. There are missionaries killed every year that we never hear about because they don't make good news. Noah took on that yoke. And there are a lot of people around the world that do as well. And they loaded up everything. And can you imagine all the neighbors around him when he loaded all this stuff up and they're sitting there and they're laughing at him. And then the rain started. And I think that's kind of how it is in life sometimes. When people do walk that path of being a believer, they can be mocked. A lot of us are made fun of because we take a different road. But when those people, when it starts raining in those other people's lives, where do they turn to? And then that's our opportunity, which it wasn't God's command here, but in our case, we can throw those people a lifeline. We can tell them about our God and our Savior. That was something Noah couldn't have. He didn't have that option. He had taken years of ridicule, years of waiting. And then in the blink of an eye, boom, God moves. He worked through the faithfulness and dedication of this man and his family and his plans for the world. Author of Hebrews wrote about it. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household by which he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah, through his faith, his obedience, his patience, did God's work in an amazing way. And it took a long time. But we're all here. And the floods came. A flood that had never been seen. Science and religion a lot of times don't jihad. And science doesn't want a jihad with God. But if you look, there have been signs of major catastrophic floods in the ground of the earth. Something even scientists can't deny. And I believe that God worked through this man. I believe there was a flood. I have no doubt. And he used this man and his family. And the destructive power of this water, anyone that's ever been through a hurricane, been through a flood, even just trying to drive through a swollen creek, and you've got like a 2-ton car, and you start to feel it move, that's no fun. You get a grip on that steering wheel. This was a solid wall of water. 15 cubits high, that's 22 and a half feet. A solid wall of water. The destructive power of that is incredible. But they were safe in the ark. They followed what God had told them, and they were safe. In a dangerous time, they came through. They came through it because they obeyed. And after months and months, the water finally came down. Over 150 days, it was on the earth. And the water just kept, it started coming down. But God never forgot Noah during all this. Never forgot his family. Finally came down, and Noah wanted to test. So he sent out a raven, then he sent out a dove, and the dove eventually came back with an olive branch. Then he sent it out again after a few days, and it didn't come back. And he knew this was a sign. That was pretty smart. I wouldn't have thought of that. But I think that Noah had a good understanding of the animals he'd been trusted with. And the Bible doesn't say it, but I think God had prepared Noah with spiritual gifts to help him do what he's called to do, just like he prepares us with our own spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11, as each of us has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. God prepared Noah for the work he had for him, just like God will prepare us for the work he wants us to do. Noah eventually was told by God, come out, we're done. And y'all can come out. And can you imagine the sight? The earth had been wrecked. Every single living thing was gone, except for the occupants of the ark. In responding to all this destruction, what did Noah and his family do? They built an altar to God. In the midst of all that trouble, in the midst of all that destruction, they remembered God. Built that altar, and at the time, it was practiced to offer burnt sacrifices and offerings to him. And God made a promise to him, I won't ever do this again. So as I was reading through and thought about my own impatience and how I thought this was going to last forever, I took a look at Noah and I realized, okay, this is all right. This is a lot better than I thought it was. And maybe there might be somebody out there this morning that just seems like they're just going through this and it's never going to end. Financial issue, illness of a relative, job troubles. Be still and listen. Be still and listen to what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you. He may be telling you, hold on. He may be telling you, I'm not done with you. He may be telling you, you're not forgotten. It's so easy to feel like you're trapped. Been there, still there sometimes. Stuck in the mud, just not moving. As struggling as hard as you can. And you're not going anywhere. Next time you feel like that, think about Noah. God worked through him for over 100 years. He took a simple, ordinary man and did extraordinary things through him. He built and he toiled for years in faith and obedience. He had a patience that was in the class by itself. And I'm sure he had Reese Cup and barbecue potato chip days of stress eating, but he just kept on. And there are many times that he could have given up the work, walked away from it and said it was too much. There have been times like that I've thought about in the past that, okay, enough. But no, That's not what God wants us to do. He could have looked at his surroundings when he got off the ark. And he could have cursed God. Did he? No. He gave thanks for what he had in those times of trouble and misery. And there may be somebody out there this morning feels like your faith tank is on empty, that you're running on fumes. You're not alone. All of us are fighting a battle. All of us. Doesn't matter if you stand up here, if you're in the back row. All of us are. There's one source to come to with that. You'll hear me say it Sunday after Sunday. Through God, we can move mountains. Without God, we can have the resources of the world and not do anything. Professionals built the Titanic. Amateurs built the Ark. What was the difference? Yes, it was. And the Ark was influenced through God. And the people that built it, God was the center. And I think sometimes we try to be the center of our own world, and it's not meant to be like that. God's not forgotten you. You might be hurting. You might be struggling. You're not forgotten. Whatever it is, you're not forgotten. I think more times than not, I know in my own case, I've forgotten God more than he never forgot me, but I forgot him. There are times in my life I used him like a spare tire. When I would get into trouble, I'd take him out, and then things get going along, and I'd just put him right back there in the trunk. And it's not meant to be that way. The simplest of prayers, daily, Lord, help me put one foot in front of another. And go into his word. You don't have to be fancy with it, but just a verse. Any which way you want to get it. App, print, version don't really matter, comic book, whatever it is. You'll find him in there. You'll find his promises. And all of us have the Holy Spirit in us. Noah did. Those 750 million people did. But they had neglected him. They forgot him. There are a lot of people in this country and in this world that are forgetting him too. And you see the direction we're heading in. So as we go to God in song, the altars will be open like they are every Sunday. If there's something on your mind that you want to pray about, come up here or pray in your chair. Whatever the Lord feels you has you moving towards. If you've never taken Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, I will be up here and I'll pray with you. If there is something on your mind, on your heart, we will pray about it. Prayer is a start. God may work through people. He may work through him. But God will work with a humble prayer to him. I'm going to get everybody to stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Then we're going to go to him in song, and the altars will be open. Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you in prayer with this example of a godly man, a faithful man, an obedient man in a time when it was not cool to be any of those things. Noah could have went the way of the world, but he didn't. He kept you in his heart. He kept you in his life. And Father, you used him. Father, just like you want to use all of us, it may not be to build an ark. It may be to help that coworker that you can feel in your heart that they're tipping. It may be that person that's trying to decide between alcohol or their family. It may be that person that's going towards a lifestyle, Father, that a person knows, here in this room, knows they shouldn't be going towards. Father, I just lift all these people up to you, and I ask whether they are in preschool or whether they're at work or anything in between, that, Father, you would just use them. Open their hearts up, Father. Turn on that part of the Holy Spirit that's in them. And, Father, use them. If one person helped one other person in this world, what a good world it'd be. And, Father, The denominations, they aren't things that you started. They're things of men. Father, they're just believers in Christ. And Father, we just want to do your work. And Father, help us, energize us, renew us. Help us be changed by you, not by this world. And Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The altars are open.